was at a bris recently, and the grandfather of the baby came over to me during Chazaras HaShatz and said, "You need to do something. I just heard that this moel does metzitza bepeh. I am a surgeon. I will not allow this to happen to my grandson. You must put a stop to it." So that got me interested in the topic of metzitza bepeh really quickly. So I decided to maybe talk about that topic of metzitza bepeh. You familiar with? Well, I'll describe to you what exactly the issue is. The process of bris milah traditionally involved three stages. The first stage is that there's an outer covering, a thick layer of skin called the foreskin, the arla, and the moel uses a sharp surgical knife and he removes the entire layer. That's called chituch. The second step of the mila is that beneath the foreskin there's a thin membrane and the moel tears that membrane and pulls it back. That's called priya. And then there's the sucking out the blood from the area, that's called the metzitza, where the blood is drawn out from the wound. Now, that's the basic process of bris milah. Now, you are well aware that we are very careful about health issues, particularly when it comes to a baby and bris milah. Even though we think bris milah is important enough that we do it on Shabbos even, we will delay a bris milah if there's any sort of health concern. The most common health concern you've probably heard about is when they say that the baby is yellow. That's called jaundice. That happens when the baby's every human body has millions of red blood cells. The cells last for a certain amount of time, 120 days or so, and after that period the cells break down and form a substance called bilirubin. Now bilirubin is supposed to be secreted through the urine, but it has to be it has to go through the liver first. It has to be processed by the liver in order to be excreted as part of the urine. If the liver is not functioning properly, so those blood cells, the bilirubin count is said to be high because the bilirubin just absorbs into the skin and gives the skin a yellowish color. So essentially it's that the liver is not fully developed yet. That's what we mean when a baby is jaundiced or when a baby is yellow. If that happens, they'll very often, if the bilirubin level is high, they're going to do the bris a little bit late. They're not going to do the bris on time. They'll wait till the bilirubin count is down and then they'll do the bris on time. So for any little health concern, even very common ones like jaundice, we're very makbid to be extremely cautious about the health of a baby. Now, against that backdrop, let's discuss metzitza. So, traditionally, metzitza was done by the moel with his mouth directly on the area where he just did the mila, sucking out a certain amount of the blood. The Gemara Masech Shabbos says that the reason we have to do metzitza after a mila is because if you don't do a metzitza, it's dangerous for the baby's life. I mean, the Gemara assumed the medical knowledge that the Gemara had was that the metzitza somehow prevented infections. This is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara goes so far as say, Rav Papa says in that Gemara that if a moel doesn't do metzitza, he should be fired. He should not be allowed to do mila anymore because he's putting the baby's life at risk by doing a surgical procedure without cleaning out the wound properly, which can only be done by metzitza. Now, the tumult and the fighting and the arguing about metzitza is not something that's only of recent vintage. It's been going back for well over 100 years. In the early, close to 200 years, in the early part of the 19th century, already Gedolei Yisrael were discussing the issues relating to metzitza. What happened was, in 1831, a German professor published a Moel's handbook. And he tried to demonstrate that the only reason we do metzitza is for therapeutic reasons, and that nowadays there's no evidence that it actually serves any therapeutic purpose. Adraba could be dangerous, and therefore he says there's no, since medical science doesn't recognize any therapeutic value in metzitza, we should stop doing metzitza. This professor approached Rav Eliezer Horowitz, who was the Rav of Vienna, the author of a Sefer Yad Eliezer, and who happened to have been a very close Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, and asked him what he thought. The Rabbi Horowitz, the Yad Eliezer, sent a shayla to his Rebbe, sent a shayla to the Chassam Sofer. Now, the particular issue was as follows. This was in 1837, this shayla was asked. The problem was as follows. There was a particular mohel in Vienna who had done several brisim, and a lot of the babies had some sort of skin eruption on the area of the mila, and then it spread to the other areas of the body, just dafka from this moel. So the Yad Eliezer asks Sam Sofer whether, in light of the fact that the babies were suffering terribly from this, and babies were actually dying from it, from this moel doing matzitza, maybe they shouldn't do matzitza anymore. If it could be dangerous, maybe there should be some other. Maybe instead of doing an oral suction, so I'm not saying not do matzitza, do it with a piece of gauze instead of doing it with the mouth, and dry out the blood with a piece of gauze. The Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva that was never published in Tshuva's Chassam Sofer, interestingly. The Tshuva was published in a journal in 1845, but it was never published in the Tshuva's Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes that Mitzitza, in this case, does not have to be done orally. Mitzitza is not a critical part of the Mila itself. Mitzitza is about health. It's about making sure that everything comes off healthy and that the surgery is done in a healthy way. But he said you have to really have reliable, it has to be on a reliable word that the squeezing out the gauze will actually accomplish the same thing that Mitzitza would accomplish, meaning that it will actually draw the blood out. So armed with the Tshuva, the Chassam Sofer, this German professor was very happy. It's actually there's another doctor that actually asked the Shaila to the Yad Eliezer, not the original German professor, Dr. Wertheim. He was very happy, and he started a whole movement to outlaw and stop Mitzitza Bepeh. Now the problem arose that not only obviously did not everyone agree with the Chassam Sofer, but the problem also arose in that the reform movement really sunk their teeth into this one. They were excited about this. The Chassam Sofer, the one who fought the reform, was the one who Chadash Asher Min HaTorah, wouldn't change a single iota of a single minhag Yisrael, and now he writes a tshuva where we could change things. So this became like a big mantra of the reform movement, that they have to undo Mitzitza, they have to stop doing Mitzitza, and it was understood that that was going to be their first step toward stopping Mila entirely and declaring it barbaric, etc., you know, leading down that road. And therefore, many other Gedolim viewed this as extremely dangerous. In 1844, the Tiferes Yisrael published his Perish on the Mishnayos, and in his Perish to Masechah Shabbos that deals with Bris Mila, in Perek Rav Lazar de Mila, he defends Mitzitza Bepeh, and he tries to counter all the arguments that Mitzitza Bepeh should not be done. In 1900, a letter was published signed by 42 major Hungarian Gedolim, a Hungarian Rabbanim, where they assered any alteration in the way we do Mila, and they said, you must do Mitzitza Bepeh. The Rambam, when he quotes the Gemara, though, the Rambam seems pretty clear that the Mitzitza should be done in a way that draws blood from distant parts of the body, which sounds like a piece of gauze would not do. It has to be with a certain suction for Mitzitza to be done properly. But the Rambam says that the reason we do it is purely for health reasons. Nothing else. There's nothing else besides for health reasons to do it. Now, what are the supposed medical advantages of doing Mitzitza? So presumably the Gemara assumes that the blood would coagulate and would clot if it was left there, and that's why you have to draw some out so that there wouldn't be clotting, which could cause inflammation and swelling in the area. Also, the assumption is that saliva is a disinfectant, and they will help prevent infections right after surgery. So, you know, before antiseptics were invented, most people died after surgery, or 50% of people died after surgery because of infections. So the saliva was assumed to be a very good antiseptic. So Mitzitza Bepeh it's not mentioned in the Gemara or the Rambam that it has to be done Bepeh. Just says Mitzitza. It doesn't say anything about Bepeh in the Gemara or the Rambam, but the Rama is very clear that he assumes that it's done Bepeh, and in Kabbalah, apparently, it's like a very big deal that it be done Bepeh. Kabbalistic sources, they say that Peh is Gematria 85, which is the same Gematria of, what do they say? Chaim Vital writes, the Gematria of Hashem's name, Elohim, is 86. So the 86 and Peh, you got to do one off in Gematrias or something like that. There's some deep Kabbalistic meaning to Dafka doing Mitzitza Bepeh. So the issue really becomes, is Mitzitza really inherent to the Bris Mila, like the Kabbalistic sources? Or is Mitzitza just a health issue? And if it's just a health issue, so we do what we think is healthy. We're not going to do something that's more dangerous. Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is clear that it's purely a health issue. And the Chassam Sofer, the Aruch Lener, the Maram Shik, others all understood this way. However, there are a number of other gedolim, including the Avnei Nezer, the Levush Mordechai, and others. The Avnei Nezer, most famously, Chassidish Rebbe, Sakachava Rebbe, made a big deal about how Matzitz is critical, and even in dangerous situations, Shomer Psoim Hashem, you do what the Torah says, and Hashem will protect you, and you should ignore any supposed danger. The Aruch Lener was against the idea of using gauze, because he said it has to be suctioned, so he didn't like the idea of using gauze. So really, there are three potential possibilities. Number one is, you have to do it pepe only. Now, the other extreme is you could use gauze, like Chassam Sofer. And the middle position would be you don't have to do pepe, but you need to do something that will really suction the blood out. So those are the three possibilities, and they're all held by a variety of poskim. Why did it become a bigger issue recently? So in 2003, I think, 2004, around then, there was a Moel, a very well-known and well-respected Moel, who had done a couple of brisim and babies died. And the babies died of herpes. And the assumption was made that they got it from the Moel doing matzitza, that the babies contracted the disease from the Moel doing matzitza. Now, a little bit about herpes is that 90% of adults over the age of 50 possess antibodies for herpes, indicating that at some time in their life they were infected by the virus. And after the virus is gone in its primary stage, it's still very common for people to have a reactivation phase at different intervals that sometimes is caused by illness or sun exposure. And the reactive phase generally produces a cold sore on the lip, which can then shed the virus. So if the moel has the cold sore on the lip, it can very easily shed the virus to the baby. Sometimes the virus can shed even without a cold sore, even without any clear indication that he has herpes. So if you have a middle-aged man who's serving as a moel, and 90% of people over the age of 50 have at one point in their lives, you know, had this virus, and the virus can kill a baby, which it clearly can, so that's a very, very, that's a very serious issue. So there was a big tumult, and a lot of Rabbanim started to say that we absolutely should not do Matzitza. The other major issue, the other time it came up, was in the 1980s, when the AIDS virus, the AIDS epidemic, started becoming something that was a major concern for people, and it wasn't a concern for the babies. Moelim were concerned that they had no idea what the parents of these babies, where they've been, what they've done. So they were afraid that if they do matzitza pepel on the babies, that the moel was going to contract the AIDS virus, the HIV virus, from the babies. So because of that, the compromise approach in America amongst non-Hasidish poskim became very widely accepted, which is to use a tube, a glass tube, where you can get the suction that so many of the poskim are worried about, but you're not going to have to actually do bepeh. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, never says anything about direct contact with the mouth. So the tube, so that's where Rabbi Pesach Kron told me that when the AIDS in the 1980s, he asked Rav David Kohn. Rav David Kohn said, for sure, always use a tube, and he says from then on he always uses a tube. Any mole has been trained in Eretz Yisrael, has been trained to do Matzitza Bepeh. Maishala and Yasala, the famous Moalim in Yerushalayim, they all do Matzitza Bepeh. That's the standard. Chassidish Moalim, because of Alpi Kabbalah, they insist on doing Matzitza Bepeh. The Rav Shechter said that he once in Nefesh HaRav, he writes on page 243 in Nefesh HaRav, that the Rav once commented to someone when he was a son to get a bris. He said, I'm much more tolerant than my father was. My father would never ever let you do matzitza. I don't think you should do matzitza, but I'm much more tolerant. I'll let you do matzitza. If you do it, I won't yell at you. I won't, you know, bop you over the head for it. But I really don't like it. So he viewed that as his way of being tolerant. But Rav Shechter certainly, and obviously Rabbi Tendler made a very big deal about it, about not doing matzitza bepeh, because of the concern of the sakana for the baby. And at the end of the day, the Kabbalistic considerations are taken into account when they don't go against the halacha, or when they don't go against a sakana issue. When you have a sakana issue or a halachic issue to worry about, so then the Kabbalistic considerations are set aside. And it seems in Nishmas Avram, Chilik Dalid, Os Kuf Chav Gimel, he writes that Dr. Abraham writes that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach permitted doing matzitza with a glass tube also, even though the Minhag Eretz Yisrael seems not to be that way. I think most of the time, and any moel in America is not a Hasidish moel. So in this case, with the let's go back to what I started with, at the bris that I was at, where the father said, I'm a surgeon, and he can't do matzitza. So I went over to the moel, I said, do you mind using a tube? And he said, sure, no problem. He wasn't going to, unless someone asks, he doesn't, or unless it's someone he doesn't know, you know, someone who's, you know, where he's worried about catching something from the baby, because he was trained by Yasala in Yerushalayim, you know, so he was taught to always do mitzitzit bet. But he'll use it too, because that's what, you know, most Moalim or non-Chasidish Moalim will be very happy to use it too, but they don't have a problem with it. Okay?